Welcome back. This is Vincent again. Happy to see you again. Fourth episode of our web series of the Dev Teach Montreal 2016 pre-session. So together we already talked about Visual Studio Team Services, the ALM processes, Microsoft Azure, how you can use all those tools to do automated builds and why it's important to do so, how you can use all those tools to do a release management and automated deployment. And this episode is going to be about testing and how you can improve the quality of your deliverables before they hit production, basically. So, test is a whole subject to itself. I had to contain this subject to 10 minutes or so. It's not going to be exhaustive. It's not going to be complete. And I could do a whole web series of 1 hour episodes for a whole month before we deplete this subject, but let's try to cover it up together. You have different levels of testing and which will be executed or done at different steps of your project. So you have a very first level is unit testing. You want to make sure your business logics or your technical stacks are working properly and work as expected. So you will have code basically to test your code and make sure it works properly. Then you have load testing. So you want to make sure your code, whatever is its business code or technical code, performs as expected and meets the performance requirements. Then you have the integration system. So So when you integrate different systems together or different parts of your applications or different features together, you want to make sure one feature or one system doesn't cause the other system to crash or not behave as expected. And then you have system testing, which is kind of the same, but for different systems. And at last, functional or acceptance testing. So this is most likely to be done manually. And your users are going to test manually, or your QA people are going to test manually to make sure the whole application by itself behaves properly and does as expected, basically. And on the other hand, you have different test types, so different things you're going to test. For example, your installation process, your compatibility with different systems, regression testing or another kind of test to make sure you didn't break anything which was working previously because you shipped a new feature or because you fixed a bug. You have a destructive tests. So this is where our QA people have basically the most fun because this is where they try to use the application of a software not as expected, not as you would expect as a developer, but as you would not expect, to make sure it's resilient and it won't crash because you have some low experienced users or because some part of the application is shut down, some services are shut down. So we try to destroy basically the application, and this is where again they have the most fun, I believe. You have security tests. It's a very important matter. You don't want any data leakage, or you don't want your users' identities to be compromised or anything like that. So security is important too. And then you have another subject, which is very, very important if you want to not reach only your country, but many countries or many cultures. This is localization and internationalization, making sure the product of the application is first the UI and the UX can be used by people not speaking your language, and also it behaves properly with people from different cultures, from different languages, it brings the proper content and stuff like that. And you have A/B testing and a lot of other test types which are available for you. Testing tools. So we are mostly a .NET and a Microsoft software development company. It doesn't mean you will be limited to those testing tools. It's only a set of testing tools I thought about, but mostly you can use whatever you want to use, guys. So basic stuff we have is Microsoft Test. So this is part of Visual Studio. This is part of the testing framework of Microsoft. It's basically a process that you can use and run tests against, like unit tests and other kind of tests. You have NUnit, so this is a community project meant to help you implement unit testing and stuff like that. XUnit is kind of the same tool. And you have Grunt and Gulp. Of course, these are not testing tools. These are task automation tools. But with those two kind of task automation tools come a lot of testing frameworks. I'm thinking about Jasmine, and I'm thinking about a lot of JavaScript testing frameworks together. And of course, it's not limited to that. If you're doing iOS, if you're doing Java stuff, if you're doing any other kind of development, well, you probably have a testing framework. And the only thing that matters actually is that it outputs something that Visual Studio Team Services will be able to interpret and integrate into the results, basically. All right, enough talking, enough slides. Let's jump into the demo. The test tab is right after the build tab, and it will allow you to do everything around testing in Visual Studio Team Services. So with Oceanic, we have two kinds of tests. We have first our test plan for functional and acceptance testing. So that's something that our QA users are going to do manually to make sure everything works properly, because it's complicated and we want to deliver quality to our customers. So here you will see the whole plan with all the suits, the test suits, and all the test cases, and the results of every run. So every time we ship a new build and the QA guy tests it, well, the result is going to show up here. You will have a lot of details. For example, it failed, why, explanations, what were the steps, when it went wrong. And if you open that, the same thing in Visual Studio, it will bring along a lot of information and even a video if you want a video and stuff like that. So that's for manual testing, but you also want to do automated tests, right? So we also have performance tests, which are automated basically. So every time we deploy a new release of our product onto the QA farm, the deployment process is going to run some Apache Demeter tests against the QA farm and see if it's performing well. Apparently, we broke something on the last build because it's not performing very well. And you will have all the details of how long did the test take to run and what is the result and so on and so forth. So you can quickly have some feedback about the changes you made in the product. In another project for one of our customers, we have some unit tests which are done at the build actually. So it's really unit testing done for the technical stack of our solution. So this is why we do it as soon as possible. So we don't want to wait for the build to be done, to be deployed, and then the test to be run to make sure we didn't break anything. We want those tests, those unit tests, to be done as soon as possible. Most of the time actually we run those on the developer's machine, but we can also run it continuously every time somebody checks in. So here at the build, and I've set the build that it fails if a test fail. That means that if a test or if something is wrong with the test, it won't go any further. That's an option you have. You don't have to do necessarily that, but I find it useful. And you will have all the details of the test and what happened. So here basically you will have the stack trace, what was wrong, what went wrong, and so on and so forth, to determine what was the bad part and what did you break with the last commit. All right, that's all for today. Thanks again for watching this series and these videos. I hope you guys have a great time at the Dev Teach Montreal. See you next week or so for the last episode. We're going to talk about technical debt management and do the conclusion of our web series. Bye-bye, guys.